Welcome to Hive Mind. I'm Meg. I'm here with Aila. I'm here with a can of Celsius, which is making me a little quick to say words, I guess. I'm here with Eli. Hi, Eli. How are you?
Hi, is Celsius high caffeine? I don't even know what that is.
It's like the highest caffeine you can get in a cold can.
Whoa.
Yeah. Except for maybe Bang. One time I drank a Bang and then I was like, I'm either gonna die or run 20 miles.
Oh, interesting. I'm giving up, or at least temporarily stopping coffee,
Why?
because I had a physical yesterday because I'm turning 40 next month. And so I was like, I should probably find out if I'm gonna live another 40 years.
Yeah.
And I have high blood pressure.
Oh no.
I know. And my cholesterol's high. And I
You're a
was
ve
like,
you're a mostly vegan.
I'm mostly vegan. And also, I was like, I said to the doctor, I think I'm hitting that age where I'm willing to just say like whatever I think now,
Great.
which is great.
Looking forward to that.
I said to the doctor, because he was like, oh, your blood pressure is high and your cholesterol could be better. And I was like, I'm going to tell you right now, if your answer to me is to exercise more, I'm not accepting that. I exercise so much. I'm training
Yeah.
for a half Ironman right now.
What do you say?
He was like, no, I was not going to suggest you exercise more. I can see that you exercise. But he thinks that I need to get my anxiety and sleep under control because I'm not a good sleeper.
Does anxiety affect cholesterol?
I don't know, but it definitely affects blood pressure according to my doctor. And then
Blood pressure, got it.
I read that coffee can affect both, and green tea is apparently really good for cholesterol. And so I'm gonna stop drinking coffee and start drinking green tea. And then I'm going to pay more attention to my diet now, I guess.
I realize how stupid what I'm about to say is going to sound, but I think cholesterol is a scam because everyone I know has high cholesterol.
Well, it's because we're all Americans.
I think being an American is a scam.
Yeah. Well, Skylar is convinced that my high blood pressure is because of nerves. He's like, it's just because you get nervous when they go and take it. And
Yeah, I would, yeah.
I know that's a thing, but also I'm like, but we take it at home to like test this theory all the time, and it's like always high. So I'm like, at some point I should probably take this seriously.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, my doctor thinks I just need to get better sleep. So now I'm gonna start taking like sleep aids to see if that helps.
I mean, that sounds great. I'm happy for you.
What podcast is this? What are we doing here?
I know, I was just about to tell you something else health related, and then I was like, wrong podcast. All right, tell me what you've been watching.
Sorry, everyone. Okay. Meg, when was the last time you watched an episode of 2020?
Well, I don't know if I've ever watched an episode of 2020, but everyone I know has watched the Ruby Frank episode except me.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. So, yeah, Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt. If you're not familiar with the news, Ruby Frankie was a mom influencer, had a YouTube channel that was really popular. She lives in Utah. Were you familiar with her before all of the crime?
Yes, but not in like a good way. I'd only heard like this account's wacky.
Yeah.
Look at all these wacky videos she posts from her car about how she won't take her kid lunch. Like, so
Yeah.
I knew she was like a fringy figure. I
Yeah.
wasn't a follower by any means.
Yeah, so she was pretty controversial, I think, for a long time because she would basically inflict like pretty severe punishment on her kids and then kind of brag about it in these videos. But the punishments were never quite enough to cross the line where it's like somebody needs to report her to the authorities. It was always just like, well, that's kind of cruel, you know? So, for example, her 5-year-old forgot to bring her lunch to school and the school called her and she was like, well, that's the consequences. She just doesn't get lunch today. And it's just kind of like, well, she's 5. It was stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in a surprise to not a lot of people, very, very tragically, last year, her 12-year-old son escaped the house and went to a neighbor and was severely malnourished and had cuts and bruises all over him and was clearly severely abused. And police responded, and it turned out Ruby Frankie and her therapist, Jill Hildebrandt, had been locking these kids like in closets and basically torturing them. And it had gotten, it's so sad. If you watch any of the like, there are videos of the kid knocking like through the neighbor's doorbell video camera of the kid knocking on the door and like asking for help. And it is like, you cannot watch that video without crying. Like it is impossible. It's so sad. So Jody and Ruby get arrested. They were just sentenced recently, or convicted under a plea deal, and I think they're awaiting sentencing, but they're going to serve somewhere between like 4 and 30 years, and we don't know how
I
many
heard
yet.
it was 15.
That's right. It's capped at 15. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Because there's a cap on the charges that it could have been up to 30, but it gets capped at 15. Anyways, they're going to serve some significant time. And so 2020 did an hour special on it, and I've been consuming the news on this, so I'm like, I guess I'm watching 2020 this week. And what I'll say is the content is good. They do a good job getting like the nuts and bolts out. The delivery is ridiculous. Like the
I mean,
report,
that's what I know about 2020, is it's like
it's
a bit much.
a bit, it's really hammy. And like the reporter, like, the way she talks is so funny. She's like, Ruby Frankie had a YouTube channel. And it's like talking in a way that nobody's ever talked. And then when she's interviewing people, her questions are so stupid. She'll be like talking to the police officer, and the police officer will be like, we went into the house and we saw that there was no food. And then she'll be like, and what does that tell you about whether the children had been eating? And he's like, it tells us that they weren't. Like, it's all of her questions are like that.
I also heard that they're like, well, you know, Mormons, they can't go outside and they can't drink caffeine.
This is what I wanted to get to mostly. The way they talk about Mormonism is ridiculous in this special, because it's exactly like what you just said. It's just like the most extreme conclusions about the entire faith tradition.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Ruby Frankie abused her children because in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they believe in discipline and extreme discipline. And it to the point that, like, obviously Skylar and I are not going to be apologists for the church at this point in our lives, but to the point that Skylar was like, this is bullshit. Like he like yelled, because he was like, he's like, this is so unfair to people like my parents, you know, who are like
Yeah.
the best parents I've ever met. And he's like, to just like say it's okay to say she was using her faith to justify these actions. Like, that's okay because that's factual. Like, she would tell
That's
you
journalism.
that's journalism. And she would tell you, my faith tells me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, that was what was motivating her. But then to say, and therefore the faith tells people that they should act this way, is like, well, no, that's her interpretation of a faith that she shares with a lot of people who would interpret it very differently. And like, I know this is 2020 and I might be expecting too much from you, but like, it's okay to experience and discuss nuance. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I think you just said it. It's 2020. Like, that's not really there. It's not 60 minutes, you know?
yeah. So anyway, despite what I just said, if you have interest in the story, I actually do think they do a good job at just presenting a lot of the factual information. Like, here's how it started. Here's like the evidence, what it shows. Here's what happened at court. Like, it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Yeah, tragic story. I hope those kids are okay. Or as okay as they can be right now. It's
Yeah, I
pretty
mean,
rough.
maybe one of the positive things is a lot of people have had questions about the dad and how much the dad was involved. He was like basically kicked out of the house a year before the kids escaped, and he claims he had no idea that they were being abused. He didn't see them. He wasn't allowed to see them. The adult children, according to 2020, have been like trying to repair their relationship with their dad, and like they don't fault him for it. And so, like, maybe there's a positive ray of hope for this family that like it really was just her and the therapist, and the rest of the family can kind of come through it, because it's bleak. It's really bleak.
Yeah.
So
Ugh, awful. What else have you been watching?
Sky and I are still making our way through The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which just falls apart more and more after
Yeah.
each episode.
It gets tough.
It gets tough. But Titus is just so good in this show, and like even better than I had remembered. And he's such a great vehicle for jokes, and he's such a fun performer that even though the plot is falling apart and most of the characters I'm not caring about anymore, I'm still motivated to keep going because I'm enjoying watching Titus so much. So I don't know. I don't know if I recommend this show to anybody, but we're having a decent time. And then yeah, we're plugging our way through Girls Five Eva. I think we just finished season one. I'm excited. You said season two is better. Season one was like just good enough to keep me going.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, but season two, I was laughing out loud.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited. What have you been watching?
We watched Madame Web, which
Yes.
was a real journey. It started out and I was like, this is not any worse than any Marvel movie. I was like, not a Marvel movie fan. Like, I'm not a connoisseur enough to like tell you which ones are good or which ones are bad. I'm just a connoisseur enough to know that generally I do not enjoy them.
Right.
So it started out, I was like, this isn't good. And it's a little tropey. She's like a guy's girl. She's like, I don't want to go to the barbecue because the ladies will make me come inside and talk to them. And I just want to be outside grilling burgers and drinking beers. And I was like, oh no, who wrote
Right.
this? But then it just like gets worse and worse and worse. And her superpower is like never really explained, other than she can see what's gonna happen in like a second, in like 30 seconds from then, but like it's very confusing. So you're watching the movie kind of twice because you're seeing all these moments happen twice. And when it's a bad movie, that's pretty painful. So you're watching like bad scenes over and over. And then it just gets like worse and worse and worse. And it just like spirals. The villain is like the least scary man I've ever seen on screen. He's like this French method actor who's supposed to be like a scary spider guy. Terrible, terrible. And then it just like Sydney Sweeney's in it for some reason. These teen girls are in it. Why? Again, not really explained. And then it just like there's literally a fight in a fireworks factory. So like explosions are going off with like this terrible CGI.
Oh
I swear
no.
it was all made in AI. By the end, I was having the time of my life. Like such a disaster. So bad. Dakota Johnson is not an action star. Like she is a dry, very funny, very does not have a care in the world kind of person. And that just doesn't work for that kind of performance. And it made it so bad. I really had a great time. So, Madam Web, highly recommend. We've also been watching Fisk on Netflix,
Oh.
which is a Australian show about a woman in her late 40s who gets a job at a little law firm in Melbourne, and it is one of the funniest shows I've seen in a long time.
Oh, I watched the pilot of that a few months ago and I forgot to keep going.
It is so funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know why I forgot about it.
It's just such a chill vibe, and the jokes are really, really funny,
Yeah.
and it's not worried at all about like any storylines about romance or any like highs and lows and drama. It's just like she has different clients every episode. She's a funny person. She has funny coworkers. They're
Yeah.
not trying to do too much. It's just like a fun place to be with characters that you enjoy.
Yeah. Cool.
We just finished season two. There's no more left on Netflix. And I'm like, I guess we throw our TV away now because I don't know what else to watch.
We never do find anything else once we finish the thing.
Right? And then you and I both watched Quiet on the Set, the documentary about Nickelodeon, and a culture of abuse therein on a few specific shows. Give me your overall impression of this series.
Well, okay, we should start by saying there is, I think, one episode left that is airing, I think this weekend.
On
So
April 7th, I read, and it's Soledad O'Brien will be doing the interview, which is interesting because she hasn't been a part of this at all.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. Okay. I am not sure how to talk about this. This is content that I'm definitely really interested in. I think it was last year you and I talked about the documentary Orange, The Orange Years. which was about kind of early Nickelodeon. And our perception of that was that Nickelodeon, at least in those early days, like really took care of these kids, and that the kids who came out of the Nickelodeon machine mostly grew up to be like functional adults that like look back really fondly on their experience, juxtaposed against the Disney kids, which have had, you know, a different experience. And so I was kind of surprised to see this. And this is a very dark view of, like you said, a part of Nickelodeon. And we're talking really not the very early years of Nickelodeon, but more of like the mid years, like the
I
late
would say
90s.
after our generation, even like it was like the Amanda Bynes show, Drake and Josh. Well, what's the one with Miranda Cosgrove? iCarly, like that
iCarly,
era of shows.
which you and I were like in college by that point. So these are shows I'm familiar with in name, but not in content. Amanda Bynes is a crossover because she started in All That, which was our generation. And that's how I knew her. But I'd never, by the time the Amanda Bynes show happened, I think I was like graduating high school or in college. And so like I never saw that. And so this really does cover mostly that period when you and I had just checked out of Nickelodeon content. So it may be a little bit less relevant to our generation. That said, okay, I'm going to say up front, just so that it's clear and nobody thinks that anything that I'm saying, it hopefully is in contradiction to this statement. Dan Schneider sucked. Like, that dude sucks. He did some bad things. I think that he was not good for these kids, a lot of them. I think they all have really strong feelings about him, and I think a lot of those feelings are justified. Also, I think the now adults, but then kids in this docuseries being interviewed, and the docuseries itself makes some pretty big leaps about him that I'm not sure were justified.
I agree with that statement. I do think he sounds like a really bad boss, especially for those female writers. I think the show really buried the lead here. Because there's bigger revelations about other people within the Nickelodeon universe that are revealed much later in the series. Like, we spend lots of time on Dan Schneider, who, like you said, for sure sucked. Did he suck any more than an entertainment boss in that era anywhere? I'm not sure. Like, I think that media has always just been like a really tough place for people to work. But then there were episodes happening at Nickelodeon that were like, oh no, this was really, really, really bad.
Like sexual assault on
Assault,
children.
like pedophilia. That is like, oh, and by the way, this happened. We had this really crappy boss, and then, oh, by the way, this happened. Like, no, that's the story. Like, the story is that these children were abused, not that some writers had a toxic workplace, which is a valid story, but not as effective of that other one. Like, if your message is let's not put kids in entertainment, that's the story to tell. And I'm not sure why you told that other story, other than you had four episodes, and I think this should have been a movie. I think this should have been a 90-minute documentary.
That's interesting. And case in point, they spend like at least an episode and a half on, and I was really uncomfortable with this, actually, this choice, on talking about Amanda Bynes. And Amanda Bynes did not participate in this. She did not want to be interviewed. Apparently, she was asked and she was just like, I look back fondly on my time at Nickelodeon, no thanks, and didn't want to do it. So instead, they're interviewing all of these kids who acted with Amanda Bynes. And most of these people are people I am not familiar with because their careers didn't take off. And it was their commentary about Amanda Bynes felt really odd to me because they'd be like, well, you know, Dan Schneider was really liked me, but then Amanda Bynes showed up, and then that's all he wanted to work with was Amanda Bynes, and he really promoted her. It was the Amanda Bynes show. And it was like some of the comments, I was like, are you jealous? What is happening here? And also, I will just tell you anecdotally, like, Dan Schneider was good at his job in a lot of ways. And one of the things he was good at, obviously, was recognizing talent. And I will tell you, when I was 12, my best friend Sam and I watched All That. And the only reason we watched All That was Amanda Bynes and what's his name on SNL?
Kenan Thompson Kenan. In the bathtub doing the French phrases.
Yes, it was like Amanda Bynes and Kenan, we were like, those are the funny people on this show. I could not have even told you anybody else's names.
Right.
And so I'm like, this is actually an interesting story of somebody discovering like, oh, this kid is really talented. We should promote her. And obviously he was right because she became like this megastar for a generation of people. And so like there's this, all this kind of conversation about like, well, Dan Schneider was bad because he like really liked Amanda Bynes. And I was like, is this going in the direction of like abuse? Is he going to abuse her or something? I hope not. But then it just like shifts to, anyway, this other kid got sexually abused by somebody else on another show. And I was just like, what was all the Amanda Bynes stuff for?
Right. And I like, if the point was that Dan Schneider created an environment where that kind of thing was allowed to happen, they did not do a good job of explaining that.
Those dots did not get connected.
No, they did not get connected, and they had plenty of time to connect them.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, why was it structured this way? I can't figure out why they did it that way. It felt like the main story should have been how terrible Drake Bell was treated, like the abuse that he was subjected to, and what that means for kids in the entertainment industry. Do half an episode on Dan Schneider about how much he sucked. I definitely think that deserves to be mentioned. I definitely think that those people are right to have felt wronged. I just don't think that was the main story of this.
Yeah. To that, I wanted to get your opinion on this part too. I'm going back and forth a little bit on it, but they spend a good amount of time talking about how Dan Schneider had a very inappropriate sense of humor for children. And so he would put stuff in the shows that was like innuendo or sexually suggestive. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it was like, kids shouldn't have been acting this out. This shouldn't have been content for kids. But then they showed examples of it. And some of the examples, I was like, I think you're thinking too hard about this. So like, one of the examples they show is one of the kids like opens her lunch or something and like yogurt squirts on her face and it's like gets a big laugh. And they're like, it cuts to the interview and she's like, looking back, I didn't realize anything was wrong with that. But now that I see it, I cannot believe they made a child do that. And I was like, she got food squirted on her face. Like it's a physical gag. I'm not sure that we necessarily can be like, and he was trying to do something innuendo and explicit.
I mean, I think in that case, yeah, I'm like, I feel like that's like a Looney Tunes gag, you know, but then like the Ariana Grande one where she's like pouring water on herself. I was like, oh yeah, that's yucky. Like that, why was that? She's really young. And why would she be doing that? Like that felt weird to me, but I agree. Some of the other ones, I was like, I don't know about that.
There's one where like, they're doing something with their feet. And they're like, I can't believe that he had made us show our feet. And I was just like, I think we're overthinking some of these. Like, and it's to the
disservice. It's kind of like when you have a hammer, everything's a nail, you know?
Yeah.
They do at one point say like, he loved getting like pervy jokes in under the network's radar.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's coloring the perception of some of those jokes. I think some of them were probably intentionally innuendo in a really gross way. And some were like, pretty innocent, but because there had been those other jokes made, people were looking for them other places.
I think you just said it perfectly. I think that's what I'm getting at is like, I do believe that he was inserting some of that stuff, but then some of the examples I was like, I don't think this is an example of the thing you're talking about. Like and it's actually making me now question the other ones because I'm like, this one feels like too far. So are any of these actually something worth complaining about? I'm not sure. But I felt like that was just a really odd presentation of, again, more Dan Schneider stuff, who, once again, I think sucks. I'm not a Dan Schneider defender. I just think the docuseries does like kind of a poor job at its focus.
Yeah. The last episode, which again premieres this weekend, is supposed to be like a conversation about where the industry goes from here,
Okay.
which is almost to me feels like people watched the documentary, had the same like critiques we did, and were like, but there is a good conversation to be had here. Because I finished that thinking that was not well made, but I over my dead body, will my kids be involved with the industry?
Yeah.
Like, I watched that series and felt even more strongly than I ever have that like entertainment is not a place for children workers for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, because it just sounds like no one is actually looking out for their well-being or their best interests. They're looking to avoid lawsuits, which is their job as a corporation, but there's just too many pitfalls. And so in that regard, I think this series is a net positive. I think that it has shown a light on like the terrible things that can happen to children in this industry. I just have a lot of notes about the way they told that story.
This was, I think, the most interesting thing about the docuseries to me, and maybe the kind of the saddest realization that I just don't think I was really aware of, is we have these knee-jerk reactions in these situations sometimes to be like, how crappy are these parents that they're letting this happen, or that they like put their kids in this industry? And I think we commonly have this view of the overeager stage mom who's like forcing their kid onto stages at an early age and wants to become famous and is like not thinking of their kids' well-being. And they talk about, actually, a lot of these families are, they're not connected, they're not well off. They have a kid who wants to do this as like a hobby. They get their kid involved because they're like, okay, well, that's something we could try. And then the family, which is again not well off and not very sophisticated in the industry, kind of gets trapped in this system where suddenly they're relying on their kid basically financially, and they don't have the tools to navigate the negative aspects of it, and they just get swallowed by the system, and it's really sad. And it's like parents who in hindsight feel a lot of regret and are like, I didn't know what to do then, or I didn't realize how bad it was, or I didn't, you know. And these kids that feel a lot of pressure at a very young age to not complain because they're
Yeah.
like, I can't lose this job. Like, my family is like really relying on this. And I think that aspect maybe doesn't get nearly enough attention. And it's a really, really sad system that can produce like a result that is this dangerous.
And to be clear, I'm not blaming the parents. I do think some of the parents sucked.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them had a kid who showed an interest in something. And like, if my kid wanted to play basketball, I'd be like, yeah, try out for the team. You know, like
Yeah.
some kids really want the spotlight and their parents were trying to help them live that dream. The system failed them,
Yeah.
though. And until there's a better system, I think like a lot of caution needs to be exercised, which this series highlighted.
Yeah.
So I am kind of looking forward to the last episode to see if they can tie it all up better than they have up to this point. I mean, it sounds gross to say, but like I was interested in the series the whole time. Entertained sounds like the wrong word, but I was like, oh, you know,
Yeah.
I kept watching to find out more. Do have notes, but what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, are you gonna watch Dune?
I am, but we're not going to put a timeline on it, Meg.
Okay, when you watch Dune, we'll talk about it. If you watch it this weekend, we'll talk about it next week. If you don't, we'll talk about something else.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.